Have you ever met somebody with a magnetic personality that just seems to draw attention wherever they go? I don't mean because of the clothes they wear or someone gifted with exceptionally good looks per se, although that helps, but a certain animal magnetism that just makes people feel comfortable being around them and enjoy being with them. Animal magnetism, also known as mesmerism, was coined by German Dr. Franz Mesmer in the 18th century to describe an invisible natural force possessed by all living things, including humans, animals, and vegetables. His research into this force could be classified as vitalism, the belief that living organisms are fundamentally different from non-living entities because they contain a non-physical element, a special energy, or vital spark, which some equate with the soul. Dr. Mesmer believed that the force could have physical effects, including healing, and his theories grew in popularity into the 19th century, despite his inability to achieve any scientific recognition or legitimacy for his ideas. This is how a 1791 London publication explains Mesmer's theory on the vital fluid. Quote, "Modern philosophy has admitted a plenum or universal principle of fluid matter, which occupies all space, and that as all bodies moving in the world abound with pores, this fluid matter introduces itself through the interstices and returns backward and forwards, flowing through one body by the currents which issues their form to another, as in a magnet, which produces that phenomenon which we all call animal magnetism. This fluid consists of fire, air, and spirit, and like all other fluids, tends to an equilibrium. Therefore, it is easy to conceive how the efforts which the bodies make towards each other produce animal electricity, which in fact is no more than the effect produced between two bodies, one of which has more motion than the other, a phenomenon serving to prove that the body which has the most motion communicates it to the other, until the medium of motion becomes an equilibrium between the two bodies, and then this equality of motion produces animal electricity." Dr. Mesmer's magnetic fluid theory was largely dismissed during his lifetime by a French royal commission appointed by Louis XVI, the last king of France before falling to the French Revolution. It was led by none other than Benjamin Franklin, and while acknowledging that the cures claimed by Dr. Mesmer did in fact have healing effects, the commission concluded that there was no evidence of the existence of the so-called magnetic fluid that Dr. Mesmer postulated. A generation later, another investigating committee, appointed by a majority vote in 1826 in the Royal Academy of Medicine in Paris, studied the effects and clinical potentials without trying to establish the physical nature of any magnetic fluid, and this time concluded, quote, "Magnetism has taken effect upon persons of different sexes and ages. We may conclude with certainty that this state exists when it gives rise to the development of new faculties, which have been designated by the names of clairvoyance, intuition, internal prevision, or when it produces great changes in the physical economy, such as insensibility, a sudden and considerable increase of strength, and when these effects cannot be referred to any other cause. Magnetism is as intense and as speedily felt at a distance of 6 feet as of 6 inches, and the phenomena developed are the same in both cases. Magnetism ought to be allowed a place within the circle of medical sciences." Practitioners that worked with this invisible force or vital energy were called magnetizer or mesmerists, and hundreds of books were written on the subject between 1766 and 1925, but it's almost entirely forgotten about today. That said, there are still practitioners today who continue with Mesmer's work, sometimes combined with hypnotic techniques, which bring about a trance-like state.
This particular technique of classical mesmerism, and under contract of keeping it secret for at least 20 years, Peter Blythe at 3 o'clock in the morning, showed us this particular technique, and he demonstrated on me. So what I'd like to do, it's a very short technique, is demonstrate on Gary.
Okay.
So just for a moment, can you just turn this way, Gary?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like you to do is just relax your arms a bit, and then can you just raise them so the fingers are dropping down and your wrists nice and really relaxed. Just let them go floppy. That's it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a few deep breaths and I'm going to channel the mesmeric energy. Now, some people might refer to this as ki energy, prana in different traditions. People call this different things, and the discussion on hypnothoughts, part of that thread is saying that this energy that's used for mesmerism is very, very similar, if not the same energy. So can you just relax that finger? That's it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to raise some chi energy. You just stand there. And then I'm going to get my fingers rather close to yours, but I'm not going to touch them. So let's just hope the camera picks this up, because what's going to happen is the chi energy is now going to flow from each of my fingers into your fingers. That's the left hand, that's the right hand, the right position. So you should be able to just start to feel a very slight tingling. Can you feel that? Okay. Now what will happen is the tingling will build up to a point where you can almost not stand it. When it reaches that point, just nod your head and let your eyes close. I'm just going to... I must remember the deep breaths. Can you feel the energy building up? Has it reached your elbows? Just in the hands and the wrists?
Okay.
So I'll just intensify it a little bit more. So as soon as it builds up to that point where you can almost not stand any more of it, just let your eyes close down and nod your head. That's right. And then just let your arms drop. And I'd like you just, remaining on the spot where you are, just rotate your body a little bit just so the camera can see you. Just keep rotating just to there. That's it. Okay. Now, Gary and I haven't discussed this, so it's going to be a very interesting thing. But what I want you to do, Gary, is just pay attention to the sensations in your body. For the camera, I'll just make sure you can see. I'm not going to touch Gary. But what I'm going to do... There we go. Can you feel that happening, Gary? And that's all there is to it. As everybody in the world can see, no physical contact, no collusion. What's happening inside your body right now, Gary? How's it feel?
Fine, I feel relaxed.
How was it when you felt your hand starting to move?
It was like it was moving on its own.
What were the thoughts that went along with that?
My hand's moving.
Yeah. Do you know why it was moving?
Was yours moving too?
My hand was moving too. Could you see my hand moving?
No.
How did you know my hand was moving?
I don't know. I didn't know that my arm was moving until it started to.
Excellent. Anytime you're ready, you can just open your eyes. That is classical mesmerism.
Here's a short clip with a demonstration of mesmerism induction. The practitioner claims that there's no pre-induction or preparation, and it's performed on a student that has never experienced mesmerism before. It's in German, so I'll do the voiceover myself. What's the difference between hypnosis and mesmerism? Do you know? I don't know the second word. Mesmerism is the old classical style of hypnosis and trance, where the body goes cataleptic or shivers and there's rapid eye movement. The great thing about it is that it doesn't happen because of speed or a similar fast induction. It's an emotion and or condition that happens nice and easy. Breathe. Deeper, deeper, deeper. all the way down, all relaxed. If your body wants to be positioned differently, let it move to that position now. And you will just go even deeper and deeper. Recognize now how the body relaxes and moves comfortably. Even deeper into a nice position, relax your face, and even deeper, exactly, deeper and deeper. Recognize your eyes now. What happens in your face and with your eyes as you go deeper and deeper, all the way down into that mesmerizing state of mind where everything happens? Recognize now what happens now. This is mesmerizing condition. Completely and very special. Feel it in your body where the whole body reacts and everything just works perfectly. In a moment, you'll feel two taps on your hand. When you feel those, you feel a wave of warm energy and light spreading out. Feel now how the nerves and muscles relax instantly. It happens exactly now. That's it. Recognize how every muscle relaxes around your eyes. Exactly like that. Breathe deeply and relax even more. Exactly like that. Just relax deeply. Exactly like that. On the count of three, you'll open your eyes and you'll be back, ready and alert. 1, 2, and 3. See, that's mesmerism. Did you see how the body reacted? Other schools of thought that work with what they describe as a life force energy that shares similar properties to what is described in mesmerism, such as Reiki and Qigong, which are popular in Asia. While considerably different in practice and theory, these techniques, which work with qi or ki, which are words that describe an invisible energy that permeates all living beings, and through the aid of a practitioner, can also be used to allegedly heal a wide variety of physical, emotional, and spiritual ailments. This next clip is a brief excerpt from a documentary called Ring of Fire, East of Krakatau, in which a demonstration of qi energy is performed during a healing session.
Is it in?
You just relax and enjoy, Lord.
He uses acupuncture needles in the traditional points, but with a twist. Through them, he directs a form of electricity, as he calls it. But he doesn't draw the electricity from a wall socket. He claims to generate it within his own body. It was nothing like any acupuncture I'd ever had. I was getting really powerful electric shocks and couldn't control my movements at all.
Okay.
He says that what he does is no more supernatural than an electric eel, which also knows how to harness its yin and yang energies.
Yin yang, positive and negative, you know. Mm-hmm. And my positive from here and my negative from here. Mm-hmm. And we meet together, this can get like electricity.
And is this because you're special? You have a special sort of
body? Meditation every day.
It's meditation that does it.
Meditation every day. Like a yoga.
Uh-huh. Can you project this energy through your hands only or through other things as well?
Only my hands. Like you can touch me. Like this. Mm-hmm. It's nothing, okay? Mm-hmm. It's my burn. Just like this.
Our sound recordist, Simi, was skeptical at first.
Is that, yeah.
Later, he told us that anybody could learn this. God had given us all the yin-yang polarity, but it takes discipline and meditation to awaken and control it. And you must be very aware of your emotions. This energy can be dangerous. It can kill as well as heal. Then he asked for our newspaper. Whatever he had done to our newspaper, it's how he'd healed my eyes that made me wonder. What do these people living in the shadows of the volcanoes still know that we of the West have forgotten?
I'm sure there will be skeptics that do not believe that a bioelectric magnetic force exists or that it could be harnessed and focused to such a degree that it can ignite fire in paper. So I'm including another demonstration, this time by Grandmaster Wolf in Australia, who performs a similar flame using the chi flow directed out of his palm. He shows us his hands, and he shows us the paper that he tore from a page in a book, and it appears to be an ordinary piece of paper, and his hands appear to be clean. He places the paper in the palm of his hand, and using his will, directs the energy into his hand, and within a few moments, we start to see something happening to the paper. As I'm sure many people are still skeptical, which is absolutely understandable, since in the West, harnessing the body's energy is not taught. So I'm including another demonstration, this time with a clear piece of plastic so that we can see through it to his palm. He's showing us a brand new plastic water bottle that he opens, takes a sip to show us it's just water, and pours out the remaining water into a container. He then takes a scissor and proceeds to puncture and then cut the water bottle, removing a small piece of plastic. Similar in size to the piece of paper he used in the last demonstration. Once again, he shows us his hands. They appear to be clean, free of oils, chemicals, or any device like a lighter or matches. He places the piece of plastic that he just cut from the water bottle in his palm. He held it in his mouth so that it remained on camera the whole time, and we can see through the plastic, and there does not appear to be anything under it or on his palm. So now let's see what happens. Thank you. Let's try one last demonstration from Grandmaster Wolf.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have three balloons, a black balloon, inside a clear balloon, inside another clear balloon. I hope you can see that. This was a suggestion from one of my students. Question being, can I influence the middle balloon, the black one, without influencing the other two? My answer is, I don't know. I haven't tried before, so we're going to have a go. If I can get this to sit here without blowing away. There's quite a bit of breeze out here at the moment. Let's see. So the answer is yes. If you can see that in there.
The notion that physical bodily functions are due to an invisible energetic or spiritual principle existing in all living creatures has roots going back at least to ancient Egypt. Claudius Galen, a physician and philosopher during the Roman Empire, believed that the lungs drew in pneuma, or spirit, from the air, which the blood communicates or circulates throughout the body. Pneuma is an ancient Greek word for breath, and in a religious context for spirit or soul. In Europe, medieval physics was influenced by the idea of pneuma, helping to shape later theories about ether, an invisible material thought to permeate all matter and space in the universe. By the 20th century, the concept of ether largely fell out of favor, with the formulation and acceptance of the special theory of relativity by Albert Einstein, as the ether hypothesis was abandoned as being unnecessary. There was, however, an upswell into what are largely considered occult studies in Germany, receiving substantial government funding into research of esoteric phenomena by the Nationalist Socialist Party, which not only conducted experiments into working prototypes of anti-gravitational propulsion, which more and more people are becoming aware of, with recent acknowledgement by the US government that such technology may actually exist, but also into occult sciences dealing with the energetic psychic potentials of man. Some of the research topics included extrasensory perception, psychokinesis, map dowsing, telepathic communication, and other paranormal phenomena, such as the manipulation of space-time, achieved through ancient Aryan techniques of harnessing and transmuting what they called vril energy, which is the same universal bioelectric magnetic life force as chi, ki, prana, and orgone, regarded as the fifth element, spirit, or ether. In fact, after the war, and even during the war, there was a major effort by the United States to incorporate German scientists into their own covert programs to develop alternative technologies, which included things like rockets, but were not limited to physical weapons of war. In the book Phenomena, The Secret History of the U.S. Government's Investigations into Extrasensory Perception and Psychokinesis, investigative journalist Annie Jacobson says, quote, "We later learned that the Soviets had captured an equal probe of information on the same subject, and we learned that they were working in this area you could say that this is the origin story of the psychic arms race. Now the CIA and KGB would conduct similar experiments, each side arguing that the other side's program required countermeasures to defend against them. While they were looking into mind research and how to input behavior, the MKUltra Subproject 58 became significant, which is the program to use drugs, which they call psychopharmacology, to enhance psychic functionings in psychic people. Presently, the Office of Naval Research calls this program Anomalous Mental Cognition. It is interesting that post-World War II universities call Vril energy pseudoscience, yet at the same time, governments that regulate what those same post-World War II universities are allowed to teach under the guise of national security covertly conduct their own research into the same occult science with a top secret classification taught to them by the same Aryan scientists which they publicly ridicule. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those who are interested. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so kindly leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful week, and I hope to see you again soon.